Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and leave a sickle for us. They can have the Cadillac and T-Bud too, but give me my rocket bicycle for two. Well, in my PSA, I say you can meet people and plants. I've been slacking on the plants. I think more like you can meet people in trash. It's Wednesday, December 28th, the Wednesday after Christmas. If you're a trash hauler, you know it's the Wednesday after Christmas because it's pretty trashy out there. Wrapping paper, boxes unflattened, glittery foil-coated wrapping paper that's not recyclable. Where does it come from and where does it go? Where does it come from and where does it go? So today's show, most of today's show is a talk by Lin Geng, a coworker, neighbor, friend. It's a talk that he gave to students and staff at the Ludlow Area Adult Learning Center in early December. Lin Geng talks about his journey here from China. And towards the end of the show, I have a short clip from someone who works with Lin Geng at the Pioneer Valley Workers Center here in Northampton. The Pioneer Valley Workers Center builds power with low-wage and immigrant workers in Western Massachusetts. Here is Lin Geng from a recorded talk in Ludlow earlier this month.
My name is Lin Geng, and I'm originally from China. So I'm very grateful to be here. When I talked to Rora about this speaking event, I was thinking like, oh, what should I share with you guys? And so I kind of do a little bit of look back to my life from China to here, both in China and in the United States. So I did a little bit of slide of presentation, PowerPoint. So my life in China. So this is a map of China, and I'm from here, Fuzhou, you probably know. And I grew up in an island called Lanqi. Most of people either are farmers or fishermen. And my dad's a farmer. So my life in China pretty simple. So my major goal is to be a student. And I dropped out of school when I was 17. So during those years, I pretty much just in the school system. And I don't really know much about the world outside my village. So as most of the farmers who don't want their kids to be a farmer again, because they know it's a very hard job and they don't make money, they pretty much on the bottom of the society, which is many of them view as a second citizen. And from my own experience, I experienced many like from my father's perspective. He worked very hard. He worked like almost every day, and but he rarely make any money. So just like barely to support a family. And he always like have a problem with the local government. Like they just took your land, you know, to sign a contract with a brick company to make a brick. Even though you already planted a vegetable or fruits on it, they just took it. So yeah, I experienced many times with that when my father is suffering with that. So yeah, as many farmers, they don't want their kids to be a farmer again. So they want you to have a good future. So they want you to go to school, to study, be a good student, and get a good grade, have a better future. So myself, I'm pretty good when I was in the elementary school, always like on the top one or two students. But after that, when I went into middle school, my grade kind of dropped a little bit. But it's not a result that my father really wanted me to have, so he kind of mad about it. So that's why my dad feel like, oh, maybe I should do something else, go somewhere. So when I was 17, there's one day my dad told me, like, oh, do you want to go to the United States? And I was like, I have no idea about what does United States mean, you know? What does that mean? So I was like totally spaced out, like, oh, what's that? And well, you grow up in China, usually in a village, you usually like respect or obey your parents. Even though it's a, if it's a question, oh, do you want to go to the United States? So I just say, oh, okay, yes, sure. So that's how I dropped out of school. And that's the first time I tried to attempt to come here, but it was failed. So I ended up stopped going to school. I feel embarrassed to go back, so I just stay home for another 2 years, for waiting for another chance to come here. So after like 2 years later, when I was 19, so I got a chance and then come here. But before that, I want to share the little background of why people come here. The province, Canton and Fujian, where I'm from, we have a long history of migration history. So we usually people, yeah, 200-300 years before they start to migrate to like Philippines, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. So there's like a few hundred years history. People migrate to other places. And after that, when the Communist Party took power in China, the country kind of closed down, so there are not a lot of people go out. And until late 70s, when China reopened to the world, so that late 70s to early 80s, people started to moving around, migrate to different places, and that's the time where I call it Fujianese, where I'm from, the city. Fujianese started to come here as a student, so they took student visa, which is like fake student visa. They're not really to come here as a student, but to find a better life, have a better job. That time, people pay $18,000 to come here. So we usually say their wife called 18,000 wife, because their husband paid like $18,000 to come here. And yeah, so that's like pretty much earlier time when they started to come in the country, United States. And after that, there's like so many cases that people come here and stay and don't go back. So that area become like the U.S. government doesn't trust people from that region, so they don't issue a visa anymore. So that leaves the space for smugglers who try to bring people here, which also there's a market, people want to come here. So a smuggler, that's the time they started to help people to come here and to make money. Around late 80s that started, and during 90s, like high peak, a lot of people come here illegally. Pay like variety from $30,000 to now it's like $80,000 or $90,000 to come here to have a better life. So yeah, that's how I started coming here when I was 19. So I draw this picture when I attend a conference at Vermont. It's called Food Solution New England. So we draw a picture. We can each one kind of draw a picture of the river of your life. So that's how I draw. I'm not good at drawing, but yeah. So I draw. This is a journey to come to the United States. Yes, from China all the way across the Pacific Sea to Colombia. That's where I got my visa, working visa in Colombia, back in 2002. So yeah, I took airplane flew to Colombia, which is not really work there. So just the middle stop to come to the United States. So it was summer. So I ended up in Colombia with all the other about 25 people. Half of them from Fuzhou, half of them from Canton. because we couldn't go to Panama. Panama, that's the place we want to go, but we couldn't go there. We don't have a visa of Panama from Panama, so we had to take the boat legally, go into Panama. So first time we tried to take the boat across the Pacific Ocean to go to Panama, we got caught by the Coast Guard, by Colombia Coast Guard. So it was we were held in the hotel and we couldn't. It's like a restriction, you couldn't go out anywhere. So that's the first time we tried to attempt to go to Panama. So we stuck in a hotel for like a couple of weeks. And then one morning the boss told us, like we woke up very early and then sneaking out and take the bus, go to the capital of Colombia, which was Bogota. And we stay there for another few days, and then we take the bus again, stop in somewhere in the mountain, and then cross the mountain to a place, a river, we can take the boat to an island outside the Pacific Ocean. Yeah, it's a quite a dangerous journey. We almost encountered a Colombian gorilla on the mountain. Everyone's like freaked out. Yeah, so we finally take the boat and all the way go down the river to the island and then stay there for like another couple of weeks. And then finally take the boat. A boat with six barrels of gas, all gas in front and six barrels of gas in the back. We are sitting in the middle and then take the boat all the way, like nonstop. Took us like 13 hours all the way from Colombia on the Pacific Ocean all the way through Colombia to Panama. Yeah, it was, everybody, the face, the skin's like peeling off. It was summer, so hot. Yeah. And finally we arrived at Panama, but the people, they don't want to get caught. So they couldn't get too close to the beach. So the boat had to stop far away from the beach. So everybody had to jump in the water, which is like above your neck. And there's a wave. So everybody had to like hold each other with the arm and then walk through it to reach the beach, to reach the, yeah, it was crazy. So yeah, that's one of the most dangerous part that I try to come here. So we enter Panama illegally and then stay there for like about 1 month waiting for the visa. So some Chinese people who has a U.S. visa, so they sold it to us. And then at that time, the Chinese passport, you can lift the film and then change the picture of it. So we put our picture, put in there, but their name is still some other people's name, but that's a U.S. visa. And the guy who in the airport who check in for the visa, he already been bought. So the boss paid for him. So he's like, just open it and then close it. There you go. And then check. So we're supposed to take the plane to go back to China. But we take another path and then go through the aisle, take the plane to Miami. So that's how we and three of us, that's how we end up in Miami. Say it again.
So you get money to fly?
Good question. I don't have money. We are farmers. We don't have money. We are poor. So that's why we want to come here to make money, to have a better life. So we borrow money from neighbors, from village people. We pay interest. So I paid at that time $60,000 to come here, plus interest, probably over $75,000 to come here. Yeah, but at that time it was like $1 is 8 Chinese yuan. That's a lot of money, so that's why people want to come here. And yeah, so we couldn't get a visa. That's why I have to make all the journeys like difficult to come here. Some people cross a mountain or borders from Mexico.
When you leave your country, your home country, you don't get a visa.
I didn't get a visa. I got a visa from Colombia, so that's why I flew to Colombia. And then I went to Panama, where I can take an airplane already go to US.
Because of that, you are in more danger and more hard for coming to United States.
Yeah. That's why, yeah. So that's why people do, yeah, try to find a different way to come here. Some people cross a tunnel, like used for the drug dealer on the Mexico border, like my sister. Some people cross border from Canada, like my another sister. Yeah. Yes.
I hear, like, many people die when they cross ocean. It's true or not?
Yeah. People die. Yeah, kind of scary. Yeah. One of my various people, he took the boat to Pacific Ocean, and he had to change to a bigger boat. So he had to jump from one boat to the other boat. He's like stuck between two boats. That.
Oh.
Some people got, you know, in the isolated container, you couldn't breathe.
Suffocating.
Yeah.
Oh.
Some people just die in a container. Yeah. Or some people just die by the temperature, like frozen winter. Yeah. So that happens a lot. So I ended up in Miami International Airport, where on the airplane we had to throw the passport away because the boss said you had to throw it in the toilet because you don't want those people who sold the passport get in trouble. So you throw it flush in the toilet. So when you arrive at the
passports, remember, right? They put the picture
yeah.
under the plastic film of the passport. Yeah. So it was someone else's name.
Yeah.
Oh.
So when I end up in the Miami International Airport, I have nothing. I have no papers. With all my two colleagues, so we were wandering around in the airport, walking around, and until one guy's like approaching us, he say, "你好，你好," and that's what all he can say in Chinese, and he say, follow me, and then we all follow him, and so he bring us to a room with people full of people who doesn't have papers, so, and then I ended up in the detention center for 10 days because I don't have nothing. And because I'm from China, I can apply for political asylum.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of all like made up story, like we got in trouble with the government. So it is true, yeah. It is true in a way, yeah. So I was in there for like 10 days. So they released us. So I got my I-94, which we call it white card. And I flew to New York, where my cousin and uncle picked me up at the LaGuardia Airport. So that's how I start my life in the U.S.
I think you have a boss who leads you, but I think he has a leader.
This was someone who was bringing the whole group. They were paying money to have this.
Yeah. Most of them, we call snakehead. So they bring people here to make money. So there are different kind of boss. There's a boss in China, a boss in Colombia, there are boss in Panama. So they all have a connection. So the Chinese boss pay them like maybe each one for $20,000. Okay, if I bring people to your country, you bring them to the U.S., I pay you this certain amount of money. So that's how they build out their network.
You have to work and pay later to this boss?
Yeah. So when I arrived in New York, yeah, so you started working in a restaurant and then send the money home to pay off.
Right, because you had borrowed the money, it sounded like, from your neighbors and
mm-hmm.
people you knew.
Yeah.
And so you had to pay them back with interest.
Right, yeah.
Right, you have to have the money for
When I arrived in New York, my dad and mom already got borrowed the money from neighbors, so they gave it to the boss. And I would send the money home to my parents, and they would distribute the money to the neighbors.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. This is I'm replaying a talk given by Lingang, to a talk that he gave to students and staff at the Ludlow Area Adult Learning Center. This is WXOJ Valley Free Radio. I'm going to play Ricardo Arjona, Mojado. And at the end, I'll give an English translation.
Es muy triste. O sea, hay palabras, vea, para decirlas. Y hay problemas, pero pues todo lo que uno ha vivido no lo puede platicar en unos 5 o 10 minutos.
Eres un criminal porque cruzaste la línea sin ningún documento.
Nunca hay que quedarnos por vencido, hay que volver a intentar.
Ayer que la quería ver, pues no la brinqué y pues me agarraron y me sentí mal, ¿verdad? Porque pues, yo voy con decisiones a trabajar y no a robar.
Empacó un par de camisas, un sombrero, su vocación de aventurero, 6 consejos, 7 fotos, 1000 recuerdos. Empacó sus ganas de quedarse, su condición de transformarse en el hombre que soñó y no ha logrado. Dijo adiós con una mueca disfrazada de sonrisa y le suplicó a su Dios crucificado en la repisa el resguardo de los suyos y perforó la frontera como pudo. El mojado tiene ganas de secarse. El mojado está mojado por las lágrimas que bota la nostalgia. El mojado, el indocumentado, carga en hombros ese bulto que legal no cargaría ni obligado. El suplicio de un papel lo ha convertido en fugitivo y no es de aquí porque su nombre no aparece en los archivos, ni es de allá porque se fue. Si la luna suave se desliza por cualquier cornisa sin permiso alguno, porque el mojado precisa comprobar con visas que no es de Neptuno. Mojado, sabe a mentira tu verdad, sabe a tristeza la ansiedad de ver un freeway y soñar con la vereda que conduce hasta tu casa. Mojado, mojado de tanto llorar, sabiendo que en algún lugar te espera un beso haciendo pausa desde el día en que te marchaste. Y caduca en la muerte, porque te persiguen mojado. Si el cónsul de los cielos ya te dio permiso.
That was Mojado by Ricardo Arjona. And here's an English translation. Mojado, that's like the Spanish term for someone who crosses the border without papers. He packed a couple of shirts, a hat, his call to adventure, 6 pieces of advice, 7 photos, 1,000 recollections. He packed his desire to remain, his state of transforming himself into the man that he dreamed of and has not achieved. He said goodbye with a grimace disguised as a smile and supplicated to his crucified God on the mantelpiece for the protection of his loved ones. And he broke through the border as he could. The course is, if the pale moon slips through any cornice without any permission, why does the wetback need to show with visas that he is not of Neptune? The wetback has the desire to dry off. The wetback is wet because of the tears that nostalgia evokes. The wetback, the one without documentation, loads the packages that the legal would not load, not even when forced. The torment of a piece of paper has turned him into a fugitive, and he's not from here because his name does not appear in the files, nor is he from there because he went away. Wetback, he knows your truth through lies. He knows anxiety through sadness of seeing a freeway and dreaming of the path that leads to your house. Wetback, wet from so much weeping, knowing that in some place waits a kiss taking a break since the day on which you left. If the universal visa is issued on the day that we are born and it expires upon death, why do they persecute you, wetback, if the consul of the heavens already gave you permission? I'm not sure who did that translation, but that's a translation of Ricardo Arjona Mojado. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and I'm going to go back to a talk that was given by Lingang about his journey to the United States from China.
So?
Oh, yeah. This talk was given to staff and students at the Ludlow Area Adult Learning Center.
My life in the U.S. Well, I show you this image. This is the watch that's the only object that I still have that I brought from China. So when I look at it, it always reminds me how the journeys that I come here. So yeah, it's the only watch I have.
This
left.
Watch you bought in China, right?
Yeah, that's the only object I left.
So now you
other
still keep it.
None of it still owned. No.
Everything else is gone.
Everything else is gone. Yeah, that's the only one. So yeah.
Okay.
Life in the U.S. That's a job agency. So most of people who come from Fuzhou, when they end up in U.S., they work in a restaurant. It's a very isolated, well-functioned, I would say, for like Chinese people to find a job here. When you're looking for a job, you just go right into the job agency in Chinatown. So this is like the place. You can see this the metal bar here. And people who work behind there are the operator, and these are the people who are looking for job. And the metal bar, you can see all the different colors. That's the title of the job. Mm-hmm. So here's like delivery, line cook, waitress, delivery manager, helper, cook. So it's all different titles. Down that, the white color papers, these are the jobs like. So they will show you area code, maybe like 413. They will show you salary, $2,300 a month. And then they would put the time, your schedule, the restaurant, maybe like 10 to 11, 10 to 12, 10 to 10. So if you look at all the papers and you're interested in the job, and they would talk to the people who work on the other side of the bar, and then they will reach to the boss. They will call the boss. Hey, there's a guy who's like interested in this job. Would you like to talk to him or her? So this guy would like talk to the boss on the phone. Like, oh, so we would just ask basic questions like, how much you pay a month? What's the working schedule from when to when? How many people's working in the kitchen? What kind of position?
Say it again?
Yeah, most are Chinese people there, but there are also Latinos. So yeah, you basically just talk on the phone with the boss. If you both agree, then you pay like $30, $50 fee for them because they offer you a job. They help you find a job. And then they give you... Say it again?
You pay for the money.
Mm-hmm. You pay for the people who work in the job agency because they help you to find a job. So you pay them the
And they
fee.
Pay you later where?
No.
You pay just one time.
It's one time.
One time.
Like
yeah.
A fee
so
that you're paying
the,
for their service.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. So they would give you the restaurant owner's name, restaurant's name, their phone number and the address and the place you take the box. So you gather this piece of paper. So all the information on it, and then you go look around the street on the Chinatown and find a bus, find the right bus, and ask them, is this bus going to this place? You show them this piece of paper, and they would say, oh yes, yeah. So and then you just get out of the bus, and then they just took you to the place that end up put property in New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, maybe far away, maybe Miami. So,
so part of the question I heard Tatiana asking was, like, are these good jobs, and is this a way that you would choose to look for a job, or is this a way you look for a job when you don't have a lot of other choices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say depends. Mm-hmm. For the newcomer, mm-hmm. if you don't have any experience, you don't speak English, you don't know much about it, you don't have paper. Mm-hmm. That's a good job for them,
mm-hmm.
you know.
For start.
Right.
And also, that's a good job for them, you know, because you don't really have much choices.
If you don't have papers, it's very hard to get work.
If you find a job through a job agency, what your benefits basically, we call it a free housing,
free housing,
free food. And you make $2,000 a month, maybe $1,800 a month.
So they pay cash or check?
They pay cash.
Cash.
But what I'm saying free is not really free because they make like $4 an hour, $5 an hour, you know? So it's not really free. So that's all you get. Nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you have papers, if you find a job through a job agency, it's pretty much the same as an undocumented worker. So... My first job I got is a kitchen helper in New Jersey. I remember it started at 11 to 11 on the weekday and 11 to 12 on weekend. It's like 13 hours. And I work 6 days a week. So it's about 70, 72 hours a week. And I make $1,300 a month. And I calculate it's like between $3 to $4 an hour. So that's my job, first job. And after the first day of work, I called my uncle and I was crying on the phone. I said, this is so hard because literally I work straight 12 hours nonstop. It's always things to do. They always put things, make you to work. And not only that, physically, like hardship, also psychologically, like, I feel like so isolated. Even though they are Chinese, they are Fujianese, we speak the same language, but they are come here a long time ago. They know what they're doing, and I'm the newcomer. I don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really, like, feel part of this group. So it's really hard for me. And my uncle's respond me on the phone side, well, this is American life. You don't have choice. That's it, you know? And I accept it. So, yeah, that's my life. So I ended up working like 14 days in that restaurant, and I quit.
14 days?
Yeah, I couldn't do it. It's just too much.
How many hours you never stop?
12 hours. Sometimes 13 because, well, not... include like driving because he has a fancy house in New Jersey somewhere like down New Jersey, and his restaurant's like up,
fancy,
like close to New York. So it's like he would drive me to the apartment. So I took 1 hour 1 hour 30 minutes to get home. So when I end up at home, it's like 2 o'clock. Take a shower at like 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I sit in a car on the traffic light, it made me just feel so lonely when I hear that tick tick, you know, make a left turn or right turn, because they are the boss and the cook, So the three people in the restaurant, the boss and cook, they are kind of family related. So they were talking, and I was sitting in the back. I was sitting there. I don't know how to make conversation with them, you know. And the only thing I hear is like, tick, tick, tick. You know, it's like, it just made me feel so lonely. Yeah. Yeah, it's very bad. Yeah. Even now when I still hear that, I think it's Toyota Camry or Toyota Corona. But not Honda. I have Honda account, so I don't have a few. Yeah, tick, tick, tick. When I hear that, my memory is just like reflect back to that moment. So, yeah, those days. Yeah, it's a very hard job, very isolated. And many people been here like over decades, they're still working and living in a restaurant, you know. And they don't know much about outside world, yeah. And nobody speaks for them.
This is WXOJ Valley Free Radio. You're listening to a recording of a talk given by Lingang to the students and staff at the Ludlow Area Adult Learning Center about his journey from China to the United States. The show is Out There. I'm Ruthie Woodring. I'm going to play La Jaula de Oro by Los Tigres del Norte, but this is a cover done by Julieta Venegas. And I'll give an English translation at the end.
Aquí estoy establecido en los Estados Unidos. 10 años pasaron ya. En que crucé de mojado, papeles no arreglados, sigo siendo un ilegal. Tengo mi esposa y mis hijos, que me los traje muy chicos y se han olvidado ya. De mi México querido, del que yo nunca me olvido y no puedo. No hablan conmigo, otro idioma han aprendido y olvidado el español. Piensan como americanos, niegan que son mexicanos, aunque tengan mi color. De mi trabajo a mi casa, yo no sé lo que me pasa, que aunque soy hombre de hoy.
That was La Jaula de Oro. An English translation says for the words, Well, the title is, I would translate the title as The Golden Cage. The words, I'm established here in the United States. 10 years have passed since I crossed as a wetback with no proper documents. I'm still here legally. I have my wife and children whom I brought when they were young, and they've already forgotten my beloved Mexico, which I can never forget and cannot return to. What's money good for if I live like a prisoner in this great nation? When I'm reminded of this, I cry. Although this cage is made of gold, it's still a prison. Listen, son, would you like to go back and live in Mexico? What are you talking about, Dad? I don't want to go back to Mexico. No way, Dad. My kids don't speak to me. They've learned another language, and they've forgotten Spanish. They think like Americans, and they deny that they're Mexicans, though they have my skin color. From work to my house, I don't know what's going on with me. Although I'm the head of the household, I almost never go out because I'm afraid that they'll catch me and deport me. What's money good for if I live like a prisoner in this great nation? When I'm reminded of this, I cry. Although this cage is made of gold, it's still a prison. I'm going to go back to the talk by Lingang. Yes. Oh, hang on. As soon as I stopped this. This is a talk that Lingang gave to students and staff at the Ludlow Area Adult Learning Center.
And Laura said you have some volunteer job. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a math tutor.
Oh, math tutor.
I'm a math tutor at GD class.
Ooh.
So,
nice.
So I feel like
I have to.
I got a GD from yeah. that. I got a GD from that class, so I feel like I want to go back to give back. You know.
I wanted to introduce this clip a little bit more. So I skipped a bunch of stuff in his story. The previous part, he'd gotten as far as New York City in his first job in the restaurant. But eventually he made his way to a restaurant in Northampton and worked there for a bunch of years. And while he was working there, went to school, got his GED, got his associate's degree, and lots of things in between.
To help our students. So, yeah.
Anybody else have questions?
Yes, I want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like America? How do you like our state, Massachusetts? How people with you? Nice? Do you have problem with...
Good question. as I say, first few years, I don't really like it. Because
mm-hmm.
I really live in a shallow, isolated world. I don't really know much about people outside. And I walk all the time, which I don't like it. And but I accept it. And after I finished my debt and I moved here and I started going to school, and that's the moment that I started like here, you know? Because I can go to school, even though I don't have paper. And a lot of people support me, so I really like it. And speaking of Massachusetts, I've been living in Northampton for 9 years, 9.5 years. I really enjoy it. I like it. I like it a lot. Very, very nice. Especially when I'm doing the campaign with the Pioneer Body Workers Center, a lot of people come out to support. So it's a really nice group of people. They support each other.
And I have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents,
mm-hmm.
they're still in China?
They're in China.
Mother, father?
Yeah, mother and father. I haven't seen them for 14 years.
14 years?
Since I come here. And my sister just recently became an American citizen.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to sponsor my parents to come here.
Yes, good.
So,
good news.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Did you miss your country? Do you want to go?
I do miss.
See,
I would love to go back to visit my village, but I feel I couldn't go back anymore because the image that I have in my mind is not a real world anymore. Because now the village totally like changed, like with the urbanization, with all the high building they built, they destroyed the rivers, mountains. So it will be very different, but I would love to go back to
Spain. I think you'll go back.
I have a question. Yes. You couldn't come back for a visit family or no?
No, I can't because I don't paper. Mm. If I go back, I miss it. I have to.
You go back, you cannot.
I have to pay another $80,000 on
you. No, you don't have visa. No. Or green card.
No.
No, there are many people here. If you don't have legal paperwork, then you are illegally here. So you don't have permission to be here. So many people like Linge come here because the economy in their world is very bad and they don't have opportunities. So they come looking for a new life and a new chance to make their lives better.
It's a little like a refugee.
Yeah, but also, sometimes you can't do it with the government's support. So you have to find a way to come. And then you have some limitations.
Yeah, I also want to add it to it. People come here based on many reasons, economy reasons, they want to have a better life, but many of them suffering from U.S. imperialism, U.S. capitalism, which they support like military coup, like most majorly in Latin America. That's why you see a lot of Latino come here, because they had to escape their home country, because otherwise you're gonna die, because there's violation, there's a military coup, there all the suppressions, so they have to leave their country. So they don't really want to come here, but they have to, because the U.S., which is like all their policies, foreign policies, really bad on their country.
Never seen your family for 50 years.
14 years.
I never saw my family 3 months. Maybe it drives me crazy sometimes. Good job for you.
Thank you. So, Lincoln, I heard you say you don't have a permanent residence. So, do you have a little bit worried about the future because
the election
becomes the president, so she will take that.
Well, before that, for a decade, I always feel that. Always worry about that the moment that I got caught by the ICE. I got sent home, always worry about that. All my coworkers told me, oh, there's a Chinese newspaper saying someone got caught by the ICE. Send them home, or whatever. So always worry about it. And, well, now, after 10 years, after the decades, I feel like I'm tired of it. I'm done with it, Rather than worry about it, just try to fight for it, So that's why one reason I got involved with the workers' union.
And that's the end of the talk by Linging, the talk that he gave to the Ludlow Area Adult Learning Center. And he mentioned the Pioneer Valley Workers' Center, which is based here in Northampton. And I'm going to play a little clip by someone else involved with the Workers' Center. Also, I want to mention that you can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And if you want to listen to all of this show, I'll probably have it posted by tomorrow. Definitely if the snowstorm hits, I'll be inside on the computer maybe. Anyway, all right, here's another clip from someone involved with the Pioneer Valley Workers' Center.
Cuando empecé a conocer el Centro Obrero, me llevó un amigo.
I came to know the Workers' Center through my friend Hector. He's from Venezuela. Through him, I got to know the Workers' Center and friends like Diana and Rosa and Gabriela and other people like you all I got to know through the Workers' Center. And I'd like to extend the invitation to all workers who don't know about the Workers' Center yet. And I've made contact with some of those workers, but they haven't been able to come yet.
Espero que... que estas personas lleguen al Centro Obrero para aprender muchas cosas buenas.
But I hope they come so they can learn lots of good things. Because the Workers' Center is to help workers like restaurant workers and agricultural workers. I'd like to be more involved in the conversations between Gabriela and Diana and Rosa, leaders at the Workers' Center, because they're like number one. Like I said, the Workers' Center is to help workers, but it's also to make friends. That's what it's about. I want to try and organize other workers and make a stronger group at the Workers' Center.
Yo quiero que me enseñen más ellas porque ya saben mucho.
And I want to learn from the intelligence that the people at the Worker Center have. And I send a hug to Diana, Gabriela, and Rosa, and the baby. I love you, all four of you. And Merry Christmas.
Yo trabajé en Nueva York en construcción.
So before I started working at the restaurant here in Northampton, I was working construction in New York City. And things were going well, but I decided to come to Northampton. I like Northampton a lot, and Florence. Florence is a great place. It's quiet. I lived a couple years in Holyoke before that, but I didn't like it. So I moved to Northampton, and here I am.
Que dicen que el que toma agua de Northampton ya no se va de Northampton.
They say if you drink the water of Northampton, you're not going to leave. Everyone comes to this country, it's like talking about Hispanics. So we all come here for a better chance to make a living. I came here for my family. My country, my home country is very poor. And I wanted my children to get ahead. I had to come here to help them with their schooling. I'm happy that my efforts were rewarded. My children are now professionals. Oh, and something else.
Cuando ustedes me vean con una carreta de botellas para ir a reciclar.
Like when you see me with a shopping cart of recyclables headed to the Redemption Center. I use the money to send to a hospital where they get by wheelchairs for the people that need them. So I made that a goal of mine.
Sí, es bastante preocupado que me sorprendió esta Navidad sin trabajo. Me quedé.
I'm kind of worried about my future being unemployed, but I'm not too worried because I have support from the Worker Center, my friends, and God, and I'm learning a lot.
Los biles llegan a la casa y no hay cómo pagarlos. Yo le pido a Dios y con la ayuda del Centro Obrero voy a salir adelante.
Because the bills come and you got to be able to pay them. I'll be all right.
Así que felicito a todos los del Centro Obrero su entrevista conmigo. Gracias por esto y gracias a mi amigo Luis que me acompañó para esta entrevista también.
Greetings to everyone at the Worker Center. Congratulations for your work. Thanks for this interview, and also thanks to my friend Luis for accompanying me for this interview. And before I close, I'm going to play the Digger song, or The World Turned Upside Down. This is Karen Casey. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock.
In 1649, to St. George's Hill, a ragged band that called the Diggers came to show the people's will. They defied the landlords, they defied the law. They were the dispossessed, reclaiming what was theirs. We've come in peace, they said, to dig and sow. We've come to work the land in common and to make the wastelands grow. This earth divided, we will make whole. Treasury for everyone to share, all things in common, all people.